Good morning.
Good
morning. Well, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this new year that you've given us. Thank you for watching over each one of us over the previous year, bringing us to this new year. Help us know you now. Help us to come even closer to you. As we read and look into your word, that open our eyes to your glory. Thank you, Father, in praise and Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, Happy New Year. As I was sitting there in the pew, I realized I didn't say Happy New Year to the Sunday school class. Sorry. Got all these things on my mind. And but you know, we're still in the beginning of the year, so I thought it's good to talk about like resolutions. A lot of times we talk about New Year's resolutions. Last week, Pastor Tim challenged both you and me through Psalm 90, asking how should we live this year? How should we live our lives? How should we number our days to live wisely? So I ask you right now, you know, what are some of your resolutions for this year? And my guess is that you guys will pick something good, right? I mean, who would want to resolve to do something bad, right? Or that's kind of dumb, right? Like, yeah, I'm going to do all these bad things and to myself this year. Now, a lot of times when we choose a resolution, we pick something that we think is good. Or at least you and I would think that it's good. It's like a natural thing. But what is good? What are good things? What is wise or foolish? If we look at Psalm 1 today, God has some things that he would say which is wise or foolish. So in Psalm 1, reading from the English Standard Version, it reads, this is God's word, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." This is God's word. Yeah. Now, I'm pretty sure, that the people described in this psalm as wicked or sinful, as mocking, scoffing, I'm pretty sure that they chose to do those things because they thought those things were good. You know, they thought it was all right. They thought it was the right thing to do. That's why they're doing it. At least that's what I think. So they thought those things, those actions that they committed themselves to were good and right and true. That's what they thought. But as you can see in the Bible here, it has something different to say about what they are doing. Because in Scripture, what they are doing is described as wicked, as sinful, and bad. And just from these words that we read here to describe these people, we can easily see that what they're doing, at least according to Scripture, is not good. And that the people themselves are not good. They're wicked. They commit sin. They're mocking. Right? But keep this in mind, they have chosen to do those things because they thought those things were good. They're doing because they thought it was good. And then we have the other guy in Psalm 1 who does not follow this trend. He doesn't do those things. He does the opposite, right? So if you can see it, you can see in this psalm here, we have two paths laid out before us. One path of the wicked and the mockers and the scoffers, and the other path which God calls blessed, the blessed man. Right? Two contrasting paths. You could say two opposite ways to live our lives. And what are the sinners or the mockers and the scoffers, what are they against? What are they against? If you look at verse 2, it says, that's the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. It infers, at least from my perspective, it infers that what these people are against is the law of God. That's what verse 2, from as I look at verse 2, it infers that these wicked, sinful people, they are against the word of God, right? They're scoffing at the word of God. They're mocking it. They sin against the word of God, not following it, by not following it, right? And on the other hand, you have the guy that's described as blessed. He loves God's law. He loves God's law. You know, theologians would say this psalm here is a psalm about wisdom. You know, what is the wise way to go? What's the wise choice? And we are invited to choose what God says or what God describes as the wise, the blessed way, the good way. Right? And of course, you know, I have to ask all of us here, you know, which way will you take? You know, which one will you choose? Right? But unfortunately, the good way, the wise way, is not always easy to discern. You know, one reason why it's not so simple is because the things that the sinners, wicked, and the scoffers are living for appear good. Like they're against God's word, the law. And it's hard to picture it right now in a church setting, but when you go outside the church, things that are against God's law oftentimes appear good or attractive. It just looks so attractive when we're outside these four walls. But yet, when we, you and I, choose sin, we're actually mocking God's law. And we're grouped in with that other group of people. Not the blessed man, but the other group. Right? And likewise, when we're outside the church, outside these four walls, the building here, like Monday through Saturday, God's ways, or His way, a lot of times seems unattractive. Uninteresting. Maybe if I could describe it with all respect, boring or uninteresting. Some people even call it stupid, right? Stupid. Any of you ever been called stupid because you're doing what God would say is right? Anyone ever called stupid before? I have. Why are you doing that, Ray? That's dumb. Okay. Not following God's way is natural. Very natural. Because immorality promises fun. It does promise fun. It promises happiness. It promises freedom. I mean, who doesn't want to be free? Right? America, land of the free, home of the brave. The land of the free. We want to be free. Immorality promises freedom. Right? And if I put it that way, it might sound kind of nice. right? You're not restricted by all these rules. You could do whatever you want. Sounds pretty free, doing what you want, whenever you want, how you want. You could think how you want to think. Try whatever you want. Right? Sounds pretty freeing, right? But God says something different about this. He says, if you go that way, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be blessed. The truly happy person is the one who meditates on who God is and what He does and God's ways. The truly happy person thinks about things that please the Heavenly Father, which would be the law of God. And the truly happy person finds joy in obeying God, following God's law. And that's the, you know, according to Scripture here, that's the real way to truly enjoy life. To truly enjoy God, like in our catechism questions, you know, was the chief end of man, man's primary person, is to glorify God. And the larger catechism says to glorify God and to fully enjoy Him. You want to fully enjoy God, you know, we see it here in Psalm 1. Right? Delight in the law of the Lord, and on His law He meditates day and night. That's the true way to find absolute fulfillment. Right? That's the true way, according to what we see here in Scripture. Not the other way, which seems very attractive. The true way to find fulfillment, to be blessed. And that's one of the ideas we get when we read, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. You know, check this out. This blessed man here, he's not just any man. He basically represents all the people who are blessed. He is the representative man of all who are actually joyful and happy. Right? And some people might say, well, this blessed man has been shown favor of some kind. You know, because God is blessing this guy. And people might look at it this way. Like, this guy is blessed because he's doing what God says. Right? It's kind of like a reward. I follow God, I obey Him, and God rewards me by blessing me. Right? But I would disagree with this. I don't think that him being blessed is because God is rewarding him. Right? Because God doesn't owe anybody anything. You know, it says in Job 41, you know, God is saying, God has said, you know, who has first given to me that I should repay him? Whatever is under the whole heaven is mine. God owns everything. He doesn't owe anybody anything. So this favor that is shown to this blessed man by God is the grace of God. It's God's grace that's being shown him. That's why he's blessed. He's blessed because God is showing him grace. He's blessed because God's showing him grace. And he represents, this guy represents all the people who are righteous. Right? Now, if you've heard me and Pastor say this before, none of us starts off righteous. We don't start off like righteous. Right? Ever since the first man, Adam, basically, all of us, everyone, was born in the way of sinners, as it says here in Psalm 1. Right? We're all born in this other category. We're born in the way of the sinners. We're born sitting in the seat of scoffers, even as an infant, unfortunately. And then as we live out our lives, we listen to the counsel of the wicked, and we add to our growing list of sins. And the Apostle John says that if we say we have no sin, then we're lying. We're deceiving ourselves. The truth is not in us. 1 John 1:8. And then you got the teacher in Ecclesiastes, which Pastor Tim preached through in the past. He said that there's not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. And that's how all of us start off life. And in my life, at least in my experience, I've seen that I never had to teach anyone to do anything bad. They just do it on their own. Right? Whether it be my kids or any of my friends, I never had to teach them to sin. They just do it naturally. It comes to them just like breathing. You know, we breathe. Right? In and out, we breathe. Has anyone ever had anyone have to teach you how to be greedy? Or how to be selfish? Anyone have to teach you how to be selfish? Has anyone ever had to teach you not to hold grudges against people who have sinned against you? I don't think so. It just comes to all of us, right? On the other hand, all of us, you and me, have to be instructed to do what is good. We have to be instructed, oh yeah, you know, you really should share some of that food. I was looking at some food on my dining table just recently, you know, the holidays, you know, all that stuff on there, all those goodies. And I was looking at it, and I really wanted that last piece. Yeah, I'm thinking about myself, I'm being selfish. And then Joyce, you know, my better half, she said, you know, so-and-so would probably want it more than you. And I said, yeah. So I kept looking at that piece day after day. I said, oh, if that person didn't get it, it's still waiting there calling up to me. Right? So I'm selfish. Right? I'm thinking about my stomach. I wanna eat that goodie. Right? And, yeah, off topic, it's still sitting on my dining table. Yeah, it's still sitting there. I'm going to wait. I have to train myself not to be selfish. To think about others, right? Yeah. So automatically, you and I, we're not on the side of this blessed guy in verse 1. We're not automatically there. He doesn't represent us. He doesn't represent you. He doesn't represent me. And for this blessed man to represent you and me requires the grace of God. Right? Even this person here, this blessed man, requires the grace of God too. Because it says in verse 2 that he delights in the law of the Lord. He delights in it. You know, why is that required grace? Because when people think of the law of the Lord, they think of rules. They think of do's and don'ts, the law of God, right? Ten Commandments stuff. But you've heard this before. The law of God was given to God's people within the context of love and mercy, compassion, grace, right? I think Pastor Tim mentioned this before. You know, when God gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments, it was after he freed them from slavery, from the Egyptians. He broke them out. Not because they're better than anyone, but because God loved them and heard their crying for mercy. And God said, yes, I will extend mercy to you. And after he extended mercy and grace to them, he says, here are my ways, the law. So instead of thinking of God's law as being restrictive, restricting your freedom, limiting you, it's actually God showing grace to you, his law. Look at it this way. God's law shows you how to be the best that you can be. Right? To be the best that you can be. Do you want to be the best? Do you want to be the best? Do you want what is best? God's law was given to help you and me to be the best and to have the best. That's what God's law does. Helps you to be the best. Be all you can be. What God intended for you to be. Max it out. So when this blessed man in our psalm considers the law of God, he remembers this grace. He remembers God's love. And we, who by nature are slaves to sin, need the grace of God to free us so that we can be represented by this man here, the blessed man. And consider how this blessed man is blessed. How this man of God is blessed. He was blessed by a love of the law of the Lord. I don't know if you've ever looked at it that way before. That's the main way he's blessed. By the love of the law of the Lord. That's what's God's gift to him. Because without this delight in the law of the Lord, he won't have what we see in verse 3, where he's described as a tree planted by streams of water. A fruitful tree. Even in the drought, not afraid of the drought, bearing fruit. Right? So does that mean he earned those blessings? No, those blessings are a gift of God also. Gift of God. Right? Why is that? Actually, I think I'll explain why it's a gift a little bit later, right? I mean, just think about the natural consequences of following God's ways, right? There's order, right? There's order. When I was part of church planting teams in the past, one of the things we were taught to do to demonstrate the grace and the power of God. And this is something we do here every now and again, is to clean up the community. We clean up the community. So, from concentric circles, distances away around the church, we start cleaning it up. So when people come by or drive by the church, they see, we're in like a deadbeat neighborhood, right? Like we're in the ghetto. But as people drive by the church, they see, instead of trash, they see things being fixed. They'll see things working. They'll see flowers, beautiful grass, you know, pruned trees. And it's like the grace of God extending out into the community for all the other people in the ghetto to see, right? And that's part of the grace of God as he's working in you or in this blessed man who is thinking about God's ways, God's law, right? And then you got the opposite extreme, lawless countries. Think about those lawless countries that we might read about or see in the news. Does it look good to live there? Nah, right? The citizens are afraid, they're hiding. Then you get all these bad people running the show. Right? Life becomes impossible in those countries. Because it's lawless. Everyone's doing what's right in their own eyes. And then everyone suffers except those who are running the show. Right? Yeah. So the law of God brings peace. It's all by the grace of God. Right? So you're given two paths here. You know, one path is given to us as a gift from God because we want to be in the blessed man camp. And the other goes the other way. Right? And even goes as far as to make fun of God. Right? They're mocking. They're sitting in the seat of scoffers, right? It really bothers me when I hear people say wrong things about God. Right? There's this one guy I heard recently. He's, you know, he's always doing these podcasts. He says, yeah, you know, Jesus, we don't even know he's a real guy. I said, no way. How can he be so wrong about that? Right? And this other path calls to you moment by moment. Once you step out those doors, it calls to you. And it makes all those lies. Say, yeah, this other way is what's going to satisfy you. But then remember what God says, right? When you guys return to school, right? When you go back home to your family, who some of them may not believe, right? But where do we hear about this, all these lies that promises freedom and fulfillment? Our entertainment. What we find entertainment in. And you go watch any show on Netflix, you're seeing all this stuff. You know, don't follow the law of God. It's not going to fulfill you. It's boring, actually. But follow this other way, and you're gonna be happy. You know. So if I put it that way, the choice is clear, right? Which way to choose. But consider this blessed man. He's more important than you think, actually, in this psalm. Because like I said before, this blessed man represents all the righteous people. He is actually very important. Because he is the ideal person of God. And some of you might know where I'm heading with this. Right? Because who has never walked in the counsel of the wicked? Who has never stood in the way of sinners? And who has never sat in the seat of scoffers? Who in human history has never done any of those things? There's only one man. And his name is Jesus. Right? Who naturally delights in the law of the Lord? Jesus. Even when he was 12 years old, you know, his mom and dad was looking for him at the festival. They found him in the temple. And he says, I'm supposed to be in my father's house. That's what he said to them. You know, because he's like, yeah, I'm in my father's house. And he's talking with all these teachers of the law. Right? He says, yeah, this is where I'm supposed to be. God's law here. Right? And that was natural for him. Only one man that we could say represents all of God's people. Like this blessed man. Only one man, Jesus. In John 14, Jesus himself says, he is the way. He is the way. So instead of standing in the way of sinners, Jesus says, stand in me, because Jesus is the way. Jesus invites you to stand with him, right? And then later on, he describes himself as a tree planted by streams of water, because he says he is the vine, and you, through faith in him, are the branches. If you want to bear fruit, like this tree here described in Psalm 1, you have to be united to that tree. And Jesus says he is that tree, that you should be united. And he says, if you want to bear fruit, you got to be united to me. In John chapter 15, right? Producing fruit in season. And all that he does, it says here in Psalm 1, that all that this blessed man does will prosper. Consider Jesus Christ, how he is like that. Because even in his apparent failure and loss, when the forces of Satan murdered him on the cross, it looked like he lost. He lost big time there when he died there. But what happened when he was murdered on the cross? He did his greatest work. He prospered. Like it says in verse 3 of Psalm 1, He prospered by making clean the children of God. Just what looked like his greatest failure, he's actually doing his greatest prosperous thing for you and me. And I know we haven't read this, but if you look in Psalm 2, which theologians think is actually part of, you know, originally part of Psalm 1, is that one big psalm. Psalm 1 and 2 is like one psalm in the past. At least that's what some people say, right? In Psalm 2, you actually see the wicked, the sinful, and scoffing, seeking to push God away, right? Here, talking to them in Psalm 1, just describing them a little bit. And in Psalm 2, it describes like how these people are actually trying to throw off God and His ways, right? And how does God respond to all this? He responds by installing His king, right? And then at the end of Psalm 2, it says, "Blessed are all who take refuge in Him, this king that God installs." And who is this king but Jesus Christ? So for your New Year's resolution, you know, will you resolve to choose Jesus? Especially when you're tempted to sin, will you choose Jesus? And remember this. When you choose Jesus and His ways, you're choosing to be the best that you can be. You're choosing what is best when you choose Jesus and His ways, God's ways. Because outside the secular humanists, they'll say, away with the law of the Lord, because it just does bad things to you. It doesn't allow you to be free. But no, God's law is what allows you to be free, who you're meant to be. And those of you who have not chosen Jesus before, will you choose Jesus today? You've not made that decision. Will you choose Jesus today? Because it is Jesus who reconciles you to the Father, to the Heavenly Father, God. It is Jesus who joins you to Him who is this blessed man, enabling you to love the law of the Lord. Right? And this is given to you freely as a gift. Let's pray. Father, help us to choose Jesus. Every single one of us here. Time and time again, day after day this year, please help each one of us to choose Jesus. And not to be tricked by the lies that we hear in the world telling us that, yeah, God's way is not the right way, or it's the boring way, it's the way that messes us up and restricts us. No, help us not to be tricked into believing those lies and to choose Jesus. Thank you, Father, and praise in Christ's name. Amen.